Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Thanks so much.
I would like to say a few words about weddings. I've just been through one. Not my own, my daughter's. Someday, in the far future, I may be able to remember it with tender indulgence, but not now. I always used to think that marriage was a simple affair. Boy and girl meet, they fall in love, get married. They have babies, eventually the babies grow up, meet other babies, and they fall in love and get married, and so on and on and on. Looked at that way, it's not only simple, it's downright monotonous. But I was wrong. I figured without the wedding. Now, you fathers will understand. You have a little girl. She looks up to you. You're her oracle. You're her hero. And then the day comes when she gets her first permanent wave and goes to her first real party. And from that day on, you're in a constant state of panic. If the boys swarm around, you're in a panic for fear she'll marry one of them. They don't swarm around, why, of course, you're in another kind of a panic, and you wonder what's the matter with her. So you don't worry about it. You say to yourself, I've got plenty of time to worry about that. I'll just put off thinking about it. And then suddenly it is upon you. It was just 3 months ago, exactly 3 months ago, that the storm broke here. It was an ordinary day, very much like any other day. I had caught the commuter's train home, as usual. It was late, as usual. We own our own home in the suburbs.
Hello, and welcome to Book Versus Movie. This is a podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Brooklyn Fit Chick.
Hi, everyone.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is spring. We were just saying before we got on the air, it's spring, and we both have, like, allergens
plenty
swirling all over the place. So forgive us if we're a little stuffy, but we are so happy to be here. We've got some wonderful news to share today. This is going to be a really fun episode, but if you are new, if you're just joining us, yes, this is a podcast where we talk about movies that have been adapted from books. During this lockdown time, we've been doing a brand new episode every single week. And so we've expanded our definition of a book to include a wide array of shorter literary sources, although today's is based on a book. Mm-hmm. And if you would like to interact with Margot D. and me, Margot P., yes, we're both Margos, and other listeners of Book Versus Movie, there's several places where you could do that on the internet.
Yes, we have a basic Facebook page where we post all of the episodes. Be sure to like that. But if you want to interact with us, we have a Facebook group, and it's a great place to go in and talk about books and movies and your suggestions for books and movies. And Margot and I are always eager for suggestions. And you guys are so clever sometimes with what you come up with. It really is so much fun. So that's Facebook. We're on Twitter at Book Versus Movie. Just spell that out. You can reach us there. We'd love to build our Instagram following if you could. So once again, it's Book Versus Movie. Spell that out for Twitter and for Instagram to follow us, to send us your ideas. You can also send them in an email. Our email address is bookversusmoviepodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you would like some stickers, and I forgot to mention, Margot, I couldn't find bookmarks, but I found coasters. Oh. So these cute Ooh. Little coasters, I got a deal on them, and you can use those for a bookmark if you want. So we're going to have stickers and coasters.
This is the first I'm hearing of the coasters, everybody. I love coasters. I am a big believer in coasters, but I have a bookmark source.
Oh, well, we'll have
I may be able to make that happen. Okay. So I will put that in my little project hopper here.
So we got some free merch for you guys if you're interested. So send us your suggestions. Also, you can do it through iTunes if you want. I want to say hi to Preemie Power. She left us a lovely 5-star review at iTunes. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you very much. And if you love this podcast and would like to help us to keep it going, keep the lights on around here, you can also support us on Patreon.
Yes, Margo. If you want to support the show, we have a couple of very affordable options. Just go to Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N, look up Book versus Movie Podcast. We have a bunch of episodes there from previous shows that we've done, and it just helps us, like Margo said, keep the lights on.
Yes, and we really appreciate it. This, I've really enjoyed doing an episode every week, even even though, you know, we just, it's a little bit of a cram, but it's been really fun. And fortunately, you all have been so innovative with your ideas for episodes. We've had some great ideas. We're going to do another listener idea for our next episode, but today is a book and movie that has been suggested several times on our Facebook group. We're going to be talking about Father of the Bride.
Yes, we are. And Margo, I think this is a perfect time to mention that we have some big news.
Yeah.
We are now a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. It's a podcast community, everything romance and romance related, but there's also other kinds of pop culture stuff going on there. If you want to check out their shows, and they have some really great shows, I'm just checking, including us, they have Writing Indie Romance, Kinda Dating, which is a dating advice show, Crappy Friends, the show about dealing with crappy friends, the Pemberley Podcast, and I like this one here, the Creative Introvert Podcast. I think that one's going to be for me, but thank you so much for the people at the Frolic Podcast Network. We're so thrilled to be here.
We are very, very excited about it. And yeah, it's just, this has been such a fun trip for,
yes.
for Margo and myself. And it always really started because we wanted to read more.
Really.
Today's book, I had never read this book before. Had you?
No, I actually never saw the 1950 movie. I've only known the 1991 movie. And I know that because all of my friends got married in the 90s. I don't know about you. And they all referenced this movie all the time. So it was new for me, this older version.
I got married in the 90s, and it is very that.
Yes.
And I had seen Father of the Bride, the original one, but I hadn't seen it in a lot of years. I forgot how good it was.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in a minute. Before that, let's talk about the book, because like I said, I'd never read this book before. I never really had heard, I don't think, of Edward Streeter, our author, before. So this is a very quick read. Father of the Bride came out in 1949, and it was written by Edward Streeter.
He was born in 1891 in Buffalo, New York, and he lived till 1976. He was basically a New Yorker after that, with a quick trip to Harvard. In Harvard, he's a very successful person. He went to Harvard and he actually edited the Harvard Lampoon in 1919. He was a reporter a little while back up in Buffalo, and then he served in World War I, and he started writing humorous musings. And it was called Dear Mabel. And it was these list of late letters, like I guess from a GI to his girlfriend back home. And that was published. And then when he got out of the army, he tried to be a writer for a little while, but then he didn't find instant success. So he's like, well, I'll go into the business world and I'll work in banks. And he wound up being a vice president for the Bank of New York for 25 years. I'm going to guess he did pretty well for himself. He wrote other stories in addition to being a VP at a bank. And he wrote Father of the Bride. It comes out in 1949. Like Margo said, it was a Book of the Month Club selection, which is such a big deal. It's hard to tell you guys how important that was to an author then. It was a big deal.
It was major. Yeah.
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 The movie was made a year later. And it's got fantastic illustrations in there. I really enjoy it as part of the story. And I think this is like, he writes from a more genteel time. He's definitely mid-century, mid-20th century writer.
Yeah.
But that's our author today, Edward Streeter.
Yes. I delightful, really. Obviously very, very smart, very witty, very funny, also very privileged.
Very, you know? I mean, he just kind of said, I'm going to try this. And I'm going to try writing letters and then it becomes a book. And then I'm going to try being in a bank and it becomes the VP. And then I'm going to try novels and they become bestsellers. Yeah.
What I really liked about this book, so that if you've seen either movie, actually, then you know that the family that is throwing the wedding is extremely affluent. I mean, they're fine.
Yes.
They're doing okay. And I really liked the way, you know, he writes about this family in a way that I think it is taking a very realistic view of, you know, yes, they're privileged. He's sort of poking fun at their privilege in a way that I think is really is fun as a 21st century reader, but I think must have been absolutely delightful as a mid 20th century reader. It's very sort of what's your name? Thurber. I'm sort of reminded of Thurber a bit, but very dry, sort of self-effacing, but a very well-to-do white family.
Yeah,
whose daughter is getting married, and they're going to throw them a big wedding. I saw a video about the 91 adaptation.
We'll get to that.
But just FYI, so you could, just to give us an idea of the kind of wedding that we're talking about, somebody went through the 1991 version of the film and like tallied up how much that wedding would have actually cost. It would have cost $250,000.
Oh my God.
So that's the kind of wedding that we're talking about.
Well, so there's one point in the book where the father tries to say like, oh, we don't like to spend our money too much. He's a bit of a spendthrift. You know, they could have a bigger house. They could. But he's being smart. He's got three kids to support. Yeah. And at one point he makes it his job to take care of the liquor. And so he buys this cheap champagne, but he has to buy a lot of it. And his wife looks at the bill and it was like $50 or something like that. And she was furious with him. So I looked it up and it was like $5,000 for just that crappy champagne. I'm like, that's 1950. You know, that's a lot of money to spend. So they do have the money to spend. He just thinks it's kind of silly to spend it all in one day. I mean, he would have no idea what happens.
So my point of bringing that up was that somebody reading it in 1949 would have had a hoot and a holler at like, he spent what?
Yes.
The cake, how much? I think that's a big part of the humor is the amount of money that this guy who's very conservative with his money is shelling out hand over fist for this wedding. But if you're familiar with either of the movies, the plot is basically the same.
It is. I mean, Kay is his daughter. In the book, she's 24 and her fella is a couple of years older than that. We never really find out what he does for a living, but we're pretty sure his parents are richer than Kay's parents. So that's one of the reasons why they're okay with it. They figure she's going to be taken care of. I don't remember in the book if Kay ever has a point where she's like, leave her wedding, that she doesn't want to she has an argument with Dunstan.
I don't think so.
I think that's something made up for. Okay. Buckley Dunstan is his name. It's such a waspy name, these things.
It's
similar. Like they hire somebody to be a wedding planner and he's just someone who helps them with their home. And he's always snooty, like sticking his nose in the air, like, oh my God, this place is so small. I don't know what we're going to do. This is all just so small. And the parents, and he's always trying to make, let's just have a couple of sandwiches and that's that. And the wife is always like, no, let's have a little more fun. The amount of gifts that Kay gets gives you the idea that they're really wealthy and that they have. She's privileged.
The table silver, the everyday silver, and it's very, very fancy, which I think is part of the humor of it. You know, in the end, just like in the movie, in the end, like the dad gets so swept. Oh, and also in the book, there's something that's in the Elizabeth Taylor movie that's not in the book, there's a subplot in the Elizabeth Taylor movie that Mr. and Mrs. Banks got married like in somebody's house or justice of the peace or something like that. And that the Mrs. Banks was always very unfulfilled about that. And so she's kind of living out fantasy. I don't think that's in the book.
No, I think she just has fun with it. Yeah, I think she and Kay are extremely close, and she's happy for her. And it's 1949 when he puts this out. 24 is about the time you're supposed to be married, or you have an old maid on your hands. Excuse me.
Yeah, one of my grandmothers was 24, and she was the old maid of the family when she got married. Like in the movies, you know what ultimately ends up happening is that the father gets sucked into the undertow of the wedding industry. And as a result, he kind of misses the whole wedding. He's paying for everything right and left, and he's going through all the stress, but he never gets to actually see all the big wedding moments as they unfold.
Yeah, he's so caught up because there's the lack of flow, lack of circulation that they say that's happening in his house. So people can get trapped in a room. There's not an easy way to get out again. And I like the illustrations of the waiters with all of these people weaving in and out of them to serve them drinks. But he gets caught up and he misses her big chance to see her leave. He has regrets about that. And he's just we'll talk about the movie in a second, but you could tell there's a lot of love there. I mean, they all really love each other and they have good values, and he doesn't like to spend it on trivial things, but he's happy to make his daughter happy. They're very close.
Yes, that's the ultimate kind of message of the book. And for all its poking fun at a particular class of people, why are you doing this? In the end, the love and the closeness of the family is really heartwarming, and I really liked it.
I thought it was very fun. It was a nice read. It's very genteel. And anybody in the family could read this book and wouldn't be offended by it. I think anybody would find it amusing. But I could picture a girl 20, 21 years old back then reading it and just being delighted by it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I really, really liked it very much. I really enjoyed it. If you are a fan of either of the movies, I think you'll really love it.
Yes, absolutely. You should check it out. It's not a long read. It's a very quick read.
So talk about the movie.
Okay, so I'm going to play the trailer right now. This is the original trailer from 1950, Father of the Bride.
Think that marriages were simple affairs. Boy meets girl, fall in love, they get married, have babies. Eventually the babies grow up and meet other babies, and they fall in love, get married, and have babies, so on and on.
Wedding, a church wedding. Well, it's what every girl dreams of. A bridal dress, the orange blossoms, the music. It's something lovely to remember all the rest of her life. And something for us to remember, too.
No one has to do anything. When the time comes, I'll do everything. I mean everything.
I wouldn't go to your own wedding. Now, none of your babies.
Now, look.
Here, young man, if you insist upon a church wedding, you can count me out. I wash my hands of the whole affair.
What is there to say? But we have Spencer Tracy here as the dad who plays Stanley T. Banks, and he's so perfect for the part.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, he is. I'm sure you read as I did that Jack Benny desperately wanted this role. And reading the book, I have to say, I didn't know that mm-hmm. when I was reading the book, but when I was reading the book, that was sort of the voice in my head of Mr. Banks, was definitely like a Jack Benny sort of a, you could just hear his narration of it. But ultimately the director decided I think that Jack Benny did not have the pathos.
Yeah. The acting chops. I mean, he was a straight yeah. man. But I think you needed to feel the true love and true exasperation. Yes.
Yeah.
So we have we have Spencer Tracy as Stanley T. Banks. We have Joan Bennett, who's so beautiful, as his wife,
she
Ellie
really
Banks.
Is.
She's gorgeous. Oh. And talk about beautiful. Elizabeth Taylor is our K. Banks. She's 17 when she makes this movie.
She is breathtaking in this movie. It's almost acting how pretty she is.
It's astonishing. She's so beautiful. We have Russ Tamblyn plays one of her brothers. We talked about him. We were talking about West Side Story. We have Billy Burke. She plays Doris Dunstan. So she's engaged to Buckley Dunstan. That's Don Taylor. Billy Burke, who I believe, wasn't she Glinda the Good Witch in Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. We talked about her. I think that's on her Patreon wall. So she gets engaged. They're going to arrange the wedding at a church. It's funny because he's like, don't want one at a church. What are we doing that for? Which you couldn't probably do that today. That probably would get people upset, riled up. I don't know. But he's not.
Yeah, I wondered about that.
Yeah. I did wonder about that.
Yeah. There were a few things in the. It's funny now that you mention it. Almost everything that's in the book is in the movie. And yet I guess it speaks to the two different mediums, of course, mm-hmm. but there were certain things that when I read them in the book, didn't kind of make a blip on my radar very much, but seeing it in the movie kind of made me have a pause.
Yeah. So she's going to have a church wedding. She's going to get married in 3 months. They have a wedding planner. He's a fastidious man. He's not as we'll talk about the 91 remake in a second, but there's the same elements that are there. Elizabeth Taylor just is so much energy. Like there's, cause she's young. Oh, she's 17.
Seriously.
And they have an argument because he says he wants to take a fishing trip for their honeymoon in Nova Scotia. And she's like, what? Wedding off. No, no, no. But her dad talks her from the ledge, but they do have the party at the house, and it's very funny that people are just crowded. You really feel the claustrophobia of like too many people in one space.
Goodness. It's so well directed. The whole movie is, but that scene, the whole scene in the house with all of those people and the waiters like squeezing through, and he's trying to get to his daughter, and he can never quite get to her. Oh, it's great.
And you believe it. You're like, I think you would get stuck in the living room forever, like until somebody squeezed out. I mean, we should say it's Vincent Minnelli, Liza's father. We talked about Liza Minnelli recently about Cabaret. He directed An American in Paris and Gigi, like some of my favorite movies. And this is an MGM production. And Elizabeth Taylor, 17, this is her first adult kind of role that she was taking on. She was a very famous teenage actress, and she was engaged to Nikki Hilton. If you've heard about Paris Hilton and she married a Hilton, and MGM being what they were like, they said, you know what? Have the wedding here. And they had it on a movie lot.
Have it right before the film comes out.
3 days before the film comes out. And MGM just put the works on it. They apparently invited all these people that played her parents in other movies to be at the wedding, to photo. I mean, it was a big, big event.
There's a lot of footage of this wedding that is very easy to find. I will say her actual wedding dress when she got married to Nikki Hilton, even prettier than the one she wears in the movie.
And the one in the movie is pretty spectacular.
Stunning.
Yeah.
Jaw-dropping. It's pretty. Not a great marriage.
No, to the Hilton, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, no, no. Let's say this is what Liz Taylor, not the first person to say this. Her picker was off. She wasn't really good at finding men that would be long term. She liked a lot of drama, apparently. Well, that's in a whole other story in and of itself. I mean, we're talking about her so young here. It's her first marriage. I'm sure she's just dying to get out of the studio system and just be, break free. And that was her way to do it.
So,
yeah.
In those days, you didn't have a lot of options for agency as a woman. And sure, I mean, it's very easy to see how a young person would get swept up.
Yeah. I would say this also.
But it is simply ludicrous.
It is. So I should say that there's like this movie, like you said, it's so well directed. There's a lot that I tried finding clips, and there's actually a lot of stuff that's just not said. It's more of Spencer Tracy reacting to things around him. There's like not a lot of one-liners. It's just the situations are just funny. But there's actually, I like the whole dream sequence for him.
Oh, I forgot about that sequence.
Yeah.
It's
like watching
amazing.
A Hitchcock movie. Yeah. All of a sudden.
Really choreographed, and the lighting and the shots, the reaction shots. And when Elizabeth Taylor's like screams at the end, it's brilliant.
When I finally got to sleep that night, I dreamed of the wedding. I was late. Somehow I couldn't seem to move my feet.
There are lots of nice touches in this movie, and with the confetti in the way they describe it in the story, to see that in the movie, like, that place just must have been a mess to clean up.
Oh my gosh. Such a huge mess. And when she says, like, okay, well, let's get up and clean this mess.
I know what they do.
They do. And that's in the book too. That scene is in the book. But I think it's so. Again, there were things in the book that I loved. I love the book. The book's great. But seeing it acted out by Joan Bennett and Spencer Tracy and Elizabeth Taylor. But that scene at the end where he's dancing with her. Oh, it's so touching. It's so sweet.
I like the shot they have with Joan Bennett just when she comes down in her Mother of the Bride outfit. And she looks amazing.
And he's so stricken by how beautiful she looks. It's... You really buy their relationship. It's a very, you definitely get a feel that there's a history. They have this long history that they've been through a lot. And yes, she's very, you know, she likes to go shopping. He just wants to make, you know, at the end of the day, just like with the book, at the end of the day, seeing his family happy. Okay, he missed the whole wedding that he paid for.
Right.
But seeing his family happy is the reward that he gets at the end. And also, you know, the talking about, you know, the pain of having to let go of his little girl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, again, in the book and both of the movies, I think it's told in a very sensitive and realistic way that really grounds the whole thing. Otherwise, it would just be very silly.
Yeah, yeah. And her brothers are great, and the casting is perfect. And like you said, it's so well directed. It did incredibly well at the box office, and it made like 10 times its money back. It became a huge hit. So then a couple of years later, did they have Father's Little Dividend? There was those sequels that she did with him, Elizabeth Taylor, where she now she has the kid. And then we can talk a little bit about, only because I feel like I've seen this movie 100 times, but it's Father of the Bride 1991 with Steve Martin. And Diane Keaton, I think they make a great couple. They're very believable.
I agree. I like them. I also buy that relationship.
Totally. And so we have Kimberly Williams Paisley as the daughter. And then the movie is, seriously, if it didn't have Martin Short in it, I don't know if anybody would ever remember it. Because his Franck is pretty hilarious.
Annie?
Yeah.
Oh, wouldn't this be perfect for you?
Oh, it's gorgeous. Look how it goes with the crystal.
Oh, perfect.
Gorgeous.
Master and Mrs. Bonks and the lovely bride. Hello. Hello. I'm not going to go to your wedding. I'm Frank, a pleasure to meet you.
Oh,
how's it after you come to the longer hall?
Oh, yes.
the bride.
Right away, I realized this was a mistake of gargantuan proportions. This guy was going to coordinate our wedding? How? With subtitles?
I knew. Okay, please come with me and we'll talk all about our big day. The big day for the bride. Pavela, come in. Sit down on my own design. I designed that very nice, I think. Now, so you have not made up your list yet, but you know that you want the wedding at home on January 6th, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yes, we would. We would like a wedding at home on January the 6th.
I love the weddings at the homes. They're very personable, very warm, and cozy, very fabulous. Oh, so January 6th, give us 7 months. Uh-oh, hello, that's 5 months. 5 months, not much. But that don't bother me so much because it's a little bit tight, but we can do it and it will be spectacular.
Okay.
I was like, worry for a second, don't worry about that. So now, let's see. This is what I suggest. I suggest that we select the cake first.
Okay.
You know, because the cake very often determine what kind of wedding that you end up having. So let's just choose a cake, okay?
Okay.
Choose the what?
The cake, Dad.
Thank you, dear assistant. This is fun. So this is a very popular cake with a men.
It is like you're so excited every time he shows up. You're like, he's back.
He's back. He's improvising. It's a little, I'm going to say it's the 1950 version it's very tender. You really do believe Spencer Tracy adores his daughter. I find the 1990, and it's Charles Shire is the director. So he and his wife, Nancy, they did all those movies where there's like kitchen porn, you know, like all these homes are perfect.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I find it
like
just
the Restoration Hardware catalog.
There you go. It comes to life. Right. I find it a little saccharine compared to...
Me too.
I don't know what it is. It's just so twee. It's so...
Yeah.
Cute.
It's... Yeah. And there's not as much as there is in the 1950 version and in the book. Again, there's not quite that poking fun at their extravagance.
They don't think they have extravagance. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't realize how privileged
they are. Exactly. So in the book and in the Spencer Tracy, Elizabeth Taylor movie, you know, as the audience or as the reader, you would have been aghast at not even just the wedding things and what they cost, but that his house, you know, the house that they live in, the neighborhood that they live in, that he has a car that he only drives to and from the train that he takes into the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of these sorts of things are very affluent things that an audience at the time, you know, you would have gotten that were poking fun at. These are the first world problems.
Right. The hoi polloi.
Very, very affluent people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the 1991 version, yes, all the wedding stuff is very extravagant and ridiculously expensive,
mm-hmm.
but you don't get that same poking fun at the life that they're already living.
Yeah, no, it seems. Yeah. It's like they have like, oh, our little house. How's it going to hold everybody? I'm like, you got a gigantic house, dude. I don't.
Your mansion. Yeah, I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, you're going to. Yes, you're going to be totally fine. And also the way they bond is with basketball. There's like three basketball scenes in the movies. I just remember
it's a bit much.
I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, I know. When I graduated college and then, you know, mid to late 90s, all my friends started getting married and they would all had dads that said that they were not like Steve Mart, but they were like Frank. You know, that they were like, oh, we're all getting into the wedding and everybody's into it. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, this is not original.
Ah. Oh my goodness. It's true. But like, again, like in the 91, yeah, the basketball, I got a little, I know we're nitpicking.
Yeah.
But contrast that with the original one,
yeah,
where Spencer Tracy, his Mr. Banks, he actually goes and talks to his daughter.
Yes.
Imagine that.
And expects her to get married and thinks like, yeah, that's the natural, but it's a totally reasonable thing for someone to fall in love and want to get married and have family. Like, that's just how life goes. Where Steve Martin gets enraged that his future son-in-law touches her knee. It's that stuff. Cause that's that patriarchal shit that I grew up with is like,
I know.
It's I think if you love that one, sorry if I'm nitpicking too much, watch the Spencer Tracy one, and I think you're going to be surprised how good it is and how well it holds up.
I was very struck by several things. You know, yes, the humor that was being, you know, made at the expense of this affluent family and the even more affluent in-laws that are marrying in. But more than that, that the genuineness of the Banks marriage, first of all, Spencer Tracy and Joan Bennett's marriage, I really bought it. Mm-hmm. It seems very genuine. There are layers there, right? And then at a time in the mid-century where again, you know, a young woman had very few options in 1949.
Right.
And were not taken very seriously in the culture and in movies. But Spencer Tracy's father, Spencer Tracy as Mr. Banks, really and truly, you know, talks to Elizabeth Taylor on just as like a human, father to daughter, but person to person. Like, he really sees her as a fully developed person that, you know, he's not just dismissing her like, oh, you're a girl, you have to get married. He believes that this is the best thing. Like, when she comes in, and this is not in the book, when she comes in and says, I've learned something about Buckley that is unforgivable, and she goes upstairs, he immediately is thinking, oh my gosh, this is horrible, like he's got another family, like something really bad has happened, and I just got to go up there and let her know that I got her back, you know, we're all here for you, kid. And then when he finds out that it's that he's planned a fishing trip for the honeymoon, he's there for her too.
Yeah.
Right. He's just really there. He's really genuinely supporting his daughter. He really loves her no matter what. Every time he's about to lose sight of that, he's kind of is reminded like, no, this is about her, and comes back, you know, into the real world. I just, the performance is so beautiful. Spencer Tracy is just so great in this movie.
He was one of the greats, you know, that's why they hired him.
Yeah, it was a good choice. And again, so well directed.
It's beautifully directed. I mean, you could see like Vincent Minnelli, like he, it's very hard to direct. We've talked about this before, but choreography with dance and movement and a lot of people together. And he's just really good at that without making it look like it looks like it's this cacophony of people and noises, but he's got control of it. But you still feel like it's just wonderful. It's got a lot of energy to it. It really does. And then
Seems spontaneous.
Yes.
It seems spontaneous that, you know, like the scene I'm thinking now of the rehearsal when everybody's like in their raid, they're all wet,
mm-hmm. Yes.
You know? Yeah, you're right. It's so beautifully, like you just don't even notice how it's choreographed because it is.
Yeah. And at the very end, it's a sweet scene, but she's about to go off on her honeymoon and she calls her dad because she didn't get to say goodbye to him and thanks him for everything, which is really sweet.
It's just beautiful. It's a great movie. I forgot how good it is.
Yeah, same. I'd never seen it before. I only knew the original version. I thought, oh, this is going to be even more, you know, twee. Mm-hmm. And no, it was just really down to earth.
I was thinking it was going to be, I thought it would be more about dresses and cakes.
Right.
Than about actual human relationships. And it's really lovely. Really holds up.
Yeah. And so thank you guys so much for suggesting that one.
So as we mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to do another listener suggested. This is a book and movie that y'all have been asking us to do for years. We're finally going to do it. We're doing it.
Yeah. In honor of joining the Frolic Network, we're going to do a romantic movie and it's called Love Story. It had, I think it's 50th anniversary. Love means never having to say you're sorry, Margot.
That's what it means.
That's what it means. It's Ryan O'Neal and Ally McGraw. It's 1970. They're both so beautiful. I'm sure we'll talk all about that and her fashions, which she was a fashionista in her day.
Boy, was she ever.
Boy, she had a lot of class. Still does. They're both with us still. But
yeah,
it's based on a novel. Is it Eric Segal? I believe it is Eric Segal.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. And it's easy to get in. I'm sure it's even on Audible. We forgot to mention we have an Audible connection. Go to audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie. You could try their service out for 1 month and see if you like it. I love it. I'm always like taking the books and movies that we have. If we have it on Audible, most of the time I keep it. The last time we did was The Man Who Touched the Earth, Felt Earth. And I love that Audible book. So check it out if you can. And Margo, where can they find you?
You can find me on the internet at coloniabook.com, and all of my social media callouts are at She's Nacho Mama. And where can they find you?
You can find me on social media, mostly for Twitter and Instagram, at Brooklyn Fitchick, and my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. And to check out other Frolic shows, go to frolic.media/podcasts. And we will be back soon with Love Story. Thank you so much for listening to the Book Versus Movie podcast. We are a part of the Frolic Podcast Network. You could find more outstanding podcasts to subscribe to at frolic.media/podcasts. If you want to find us on Facebook, we have a basic Facebook page, Book vs. Movie. We also have a private Facebook group. Just type in Book vs. Movie Podcast Group. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Book vs. Movie. Just spell that out. Our email address is bookversusmoviepodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show, we do have a Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/bookversusmovie. We also have a promotion with Audible. Go to audibletrial.com/bookversusmovie to check out their service for yourself. We record our shows using the handy H6N donated to us by generous fans from the show who joined our Patreon page. Thank you all so much. We so appreciate it. We'll be back soon with a new episode. Thank you.